on
chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Amen. The gospel of Christ. And so, everybody's always looking for a sign. Amen. I've talked to people, I've witnessed people in the past, and they say, "Well, if God is, if this Jesus is God, if, then let God do this, let God do that." Or, "Why does God allow whatever to happen?" And so everybody wants to put God to the test. And Jesus said, "You don't have to put me to the test. All you have to do is look at my life. All you have to do is see what the Father is doing through me. I and the Father are one." Amen? And so, in reality, we shouldn't have to say anything in our defense as Christians. The way we live our lives should be a testimony for us. There is something different about that person. There is something strange about that person. I like one of the things that one of the adjectives that is used in God's Word. There is something peculiar about that person. We are peculiar people. Amen? And that's right. What does that mean? We're different. Amen? How many of you moms out there and raising your children, you've had to explain to them that this little person down the street that has whatever type of a handicap that they're dealing with, that you've had to explain to them, well, they're a little different. Okay? And so because they are, they're not going to exactly speak the way that you think they should speak or, act the way that you think they should act. Well, guess what? We're a little different. As children of God, we're just a little bit different. We ought not to speak the way that the world speaks. We ought not to act the way that the world acts because we have a different Father. Amen? And our Father has taught us a different lifestyle. And that lifestyle should be manifested in the way we go through every day. There was a book that was written some years ago, and I've made mention it to before. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it's about a young man that was brought up in two homes. He had an adopted dad, and he had a real-life dad. The real-life dad just struggled working day-to-day, never quite making ends meet, like maybe most of us here have done in the past. The other one was the rich dad, and it just seems that everything came to him. And this young man sat down, and he noticed that there really wasn't much difference in the abilities or not even in the education of the two men that he called his father, his dad, or whatever. But what was different were the expectations that each of them had. One expected for his life to be a struggle, and that's exactly what it was. The other one expected that he would receive blessing, and that's what happened. And so sometimes we experience our expectations. That's why I am always telling you, expect great things from God. Expect miracles. Our God is not a different God than Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago. He's not a different God from the God in the Old Testament that brought down fire or, you know, whatever miraculous things he did. He is still a miracle-working God. Amen? And if we expect great things from God, guess what? You'll start seeing the great things. Because I have a feeling that our expectations limit what we can see and experience. When I was in high school, my buddy and I, and you'll have to forgive me, this is the work of some highly dangerous narcotics and drugs, but we were experimenting with some stuff, and we came up with this with thought, what if somebody was a different color than you'd ever seen before? Would you be able to see them? Because this color would be something that you've never experienced before. So, yes, of course, as long as it's within the light spectrum that our eyes are able to, you know, to perceive, we're going to see that person. But, you know, to us and our drug-induced high, we thought that was some pretty deep stuff. Okay? And we would just, you know, talk about that and meditate on that for days on end. But I do believe that your expectations will open your eyes. We just read about it last week or a couple weeks ago when we had two disciples run to the tomb of Jesus and all they saw there was an empty tomb. However, when Mary walks in moments later, there's two angels sitting there. And my proposal is that those angels were there all the time. It's just that that's not what John and Peter expected to see. And because this was not in their expectations, they did not see it. But Mary went there expecting something, and God met those expectations. Amen? And so I want you to have great expectations of God. Now, I've shared this with some of my pastor friends, and they warn me, oh, Dale, you can't do that. You can't get people all excited about miracles and great things, because what happens when God doesn't do that? Well, okay, if God chooses that this is not a thing that's good for us to experience, then he's not going to do it. He says, oh, but they'll get all disappointed, and they'll get all discouraged. And then they won't trust God. And my thought is if I'm trusting a God that is powerless, then what good is my trust? But if I'm trusting the Almighty Creator of the universe, then I can expect great things from my Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen? I've had more no's and not yet as answer to my prayers, because God is always going to answer your prayer. He will answer every prayer. Yes, no, and not yet. Amen? All right. And sometimes we have to accept that no or that not yet is just as wonderful an answer from God as a, yeah, go ahead and do it. All right? Now, yesterday, Terry and I, we had our whole day planned out. We were doing this, we were doing that, and then we were going to go to the memorial or whatever it was being called for these two people that we prayed for. All right, just a sad thing. We had a situation where the wife had been in, she was battling cancer, she was in a care unit or whatever, and she passed away when the husband, who is our age, actually he's a little bit older than Terry and I, when he got wind of it, he was in a memory care, he had, you know, problem with his memory, and he wandered off, and they found him later that day dead. And so we don't know any of the particulars, but, you know, that's what was going on. And so Terry and I, we wanted to share, you know, the peace with the friends and family. And so that was on our agenda. And went to get Terry's haircut, and got out of there, and jumped in the car, and it wouldn't start. And then I finally got it started, and it was in limp mode. If you don't know what limp mode is, think of the tortoise and the hare, and we're the tortoise. Okay? And so we limped on home, and we couldn't go to this. And was Terry disappointed? Yes, she really was. I really wanted to do this. I said, yes, but a no from God is probably saving us from whatever kind of we might have, been confronted with there. So in that case, we just have to accept his no. Well, it takes a realization that our God is that great to be able to accept a no. If you don't have a great God, then a no is just a revelation of his weakness. But when you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who spoke everything seen and unseen into existence, then a no just might be his almighty hand of protection upon you. Amen? Amen. And so it's rough being a believer. It's rough looking at the Word of God and saying, this is God's Word, I believe it, I walk in it, I accept it, I'm going to build my life in it, and then you find out that there are some tribulations. How about that? Jesus' prophecy is true. In this world, you will suffer tribulations. Don't be discouraged. I have overcome the world. Amen? Don't get all caught up in what the world has to offer. It is, at best, temporary. Amen? Amen? As Tara and I travel to visit our kids in Montgomery, we drive past some interesting homes and beautiful homes out on acreage, and we just really, isn't this beautiful? And Terry looks at that home, and I just remind her, remember, you got to clean it. As if we could afford something like that, I'm sure we could afford somebody to come in and clean it, all right? But we look at these things, that's the best that the world has to offer. But I got one of those waiting for me in heaven. And I'll never have to lift the dusting cloth. I'll never have to haul out the vacuum cleaner. Amen. I'll never have to dust the bookshelves. I won't have to move stuff around and get hair fur balls or whatever out from underneath the refrigerator, out from underneath the chair. All of that is taken care for me by my Heavenly Father. Amen. But I want to take a look, just a little glance over at Acts. And here we have the church. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And this is really letting us know it's the first century history of the church. It's written by a man by the name of Luke, who is also the author of the gospel according to St. Luke. Luke was never a disciple. Luke didn't know Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. He was by his name. We know he's a Greek guy. He's not a Jewish guy. He's a Greek guy. But he has then, for some reason, he decided to look into what is this that's going on over here in Jerusalem. And so he set his mind to find out what's going on. And somewhere along the way, he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so he is writing for somebody. Theophilus is the guy's name. We have no idea who he was. Was he Luke's teacher? Was he a compatriot of Luke? We don't know who Theophilus was, but he was held in very high regard by Luke. And so Luke is addressing both of those letters, the ones that's titled the Acts of the Apostles and the one that's titled the book, the Gospel according to St. Luke. Both of those are titled to, or addressed to, excuse me, to Theophilus. And this is what this scientist This is the closest we're going to have to a scientist in the first century. This is what he is saying of what he is seeing. Okay, so this is great insight. You'll see things in the book of Luke that you won't see in other places because he's looking at things as from a scientist viewpoint. And so now he's looking at this, what is going on over here in Joppa. He is actually seeing the works of the Apostle Paul. So he's writing about Paul. He actually hung out with Paul a little bit. He'd hang out with the guys in Jerusalem. And he just compiled all of this information from what they were telling him and what he was seeing, what he was experiencing. And so there's a little town, and Peter was working there. He had gone there to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there were a bunch of followers of Jesus there. Now, when we say disciple, those disciple means follower. In sign language, that's the letter D. Okay, and so we sign disciple as, okay, and this is to follow, I'm following, so a follower, okay, so this is how we sign disciple. Disciple is a follower of Jesus, okay, as opposed to apostle. An apostle is not a follower. An apostle means one who is sent out. And so you have to start as a follower before you can be sent out. You have to get your education before you can get sent out, all right? So all of us are disciples. I'm still a disciple. I'm still a follower of Jesus. And at the same time, I'm a sent out one because we go out and share the gospel around the world and we teach pastors around the world. So I'm at the same time a disciple and a follower. And that's the dichotomy that all of us live. All right? You'll be a follower of Jesus, but if you are Christian parents and you're trying to raise Christian children, guess what? You also have that ministry that God has given you to raise those kids up in the admonition of Jesus. Amen? And so we wear a dual hat. Well, here's Peter. He's over there, and there's a disciple, a follower. And in the Jewish word in Hebrew, her name was Tabitha. And her Greek word was Dorcas. I saw Lilybug smile when she read that. Dorcas, like, oh, I know that word. I was watching, what's she going to say? What's she going to do when she gets, oh, a Dorcas. Oh, okay. All right. So I like her Hebrew name better. Her name was Tabitha, all right? And that is the name that Peter used when he addressed her. But let's take a look at this lady since we're celebrating the Ladies' Day today for Mother's Day and for all of the ladies in the church. And I want you to see, number one, she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. And so what we are thinking here, and there's no hard and fast on this, we're thinking that she was probably like a grandmother type. She was our age. All right? She's not talking about if she had her children or grandchildren or anything, but she was probably, what we call a senior citizen today. And it's interesting how that keeps stepping down so that according to the AARP, you can get your senior citizen's card when you're 45 now. So, I think they're just looking for more donations there. But anyhow, so I have a feeling that she's probably beyond 45. But she was devoted. Not that she just did some things, you know, from time to time. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. All right? And I want you to think about that. Here is a lady that it's obvious that her responsibilities as a mom have been fulfilled. She's not worried about pleasing a husband and raising some kids. All right? And so now her life is devoted to good works. And we're going to see in a moment what she was doing with these good works. And acts of charity. It was something, she was being charitable, she was doing things out of love. The root word for that is love. Charity is, that's why we call, sometimes we'll refer to charity as love, or love as charity. And so, it's motivated out of a heart filled with love, filled with charity. Doing things for people. And, you know what? When you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when Jesus went through the inconvenience of the cross, and I want you to think about that phrase, the inconvenience of the cross. This was not something that somebody looks forward to or wants to do. All right, he left the throne of heaven where angels adored him. Where he heard, there is, I would say night, day and night, but there is no day or night in heaven. But the angels surrounding the throne of God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Alright, I mean, that's what he enjoyed all of his life, and yet he took on himself this human form so that he could ultimately experience a very real death on the cross of Calvary. I would say at the very least, that was a bit of an inconvenience. It's not what I would put on the list of things I want to do in my life. Yet this is what he did. And so, Christianity, just due from the example that we have with Jesus, is going out of your way, doing things, helping people out in inconvenient situations. That's what a life of charity, that's what acts of charity are. Not a convenience, but we do it anyhow because we love other people. All right, so she was doing acts of good works and acts of charity. And then, at that time, she became ill and died. Just boom. A certain sickness came over her. They didn't have any, they didn't have the medicine like we have nowadays. And so all they know is somebody got sick and somebody died. I get a big kick out of hearing people pray today. Lord God, this poor soul has stage 3, stage 4 cancer of the, God already knows. You don't have to diagnose anybody for God. He needs to know what's wrong, yeah, like you do. Okay? He already knows. I love the simplicity of life back then. I didn't have to know anything except this person's sick and my God can heal it. Amen? And that's how we need to come to God. Don't do a great big line of, this is what's wrong and this was wrong and this was wrong or whatever. God already knows. Father God, we need your miracle in this person's life. Amen? Okay, so she got sick and died. There you go. That's all we need to know. Got sick from what? Doesn't matter. She died from it. Okay? So they washed her and they laid her in a room upstairs because they didn't have embalming and stuff like that. They just washed you, laid you out for a day, and then you were put in the ground. And the East, it's still done that way. You are buried the day or the very next morning of when you die. And you kind of have to. It's kind of hot there, and dead bodies lay around for a while. It's not a pretty, scene to be in. Amen? And so they laid her upstairs. And so Lydda was near Joppa, where the disciples were, so since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, please come to us without delay. So Peter got up and he went with them, and they took him upstairs, and there all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing the tunics and the other clothing that Dorcas, that Tabitha, had made while she was with them. I don't know what else Tabitha did with her life. I don't know if her husband, probably late husband, was a leader in the church or a leader in society. When people had to talk about who Tabitha or Dorcas was, look at these beautiful robes that she made for us. She was known by these things. All right? So people, you know, you just don't go to a store and buy things. You didn't have money to go to a store and buy things during these times. I mean, it was really rough for believers during these times. And here was this lady that her hobby was making these cloaks, making these clothes, and she shared them with everybody in the church. And so when Peter gets there, here's all the widow ladies saying, And so Peter puts them all outside, and he knelt down and he prayed, and he turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and helped her up. And then he called the saints and the widows and showed her to be alive. And the news spread. Of course it did. All right, the news spread. And so this is great because generally it's a story about a lady who was sick, she died, Peter came, prayed, and God raised her up from the dead, and it was a great testimony. But I want to look at what she had done in the meantime, and that she had spent her time. She had endeared herself to the people of the church, and especially to the widow ladies of the church, by helping them out by these acts of charity. And so when Peter, the man of God, comes, the ladies are all very quick to say, "She made this for me. She did this for me." And they were all proud of what Dorcas, Tabitha, had done for her, and they were showing this off. And so my question is that, what kind of an impact are we having on people's lives? What do we do with our time? It is obvious that Tabitha was investing her time in others. Okay? And that's what the others were testifying about when the man of God came. So what are we doing with our lives? What are we doing? And I would just encourage you, we have 250 apartments here, apartments and cottages, and each one of them needs to know about Jesus. Not saying that they don't already know about Jesus, but I can't make that call. Right? And so we just have to let everybody know. So what is it that we as a church can be doing? And it doesn't say here that that's how Dorcas or Tabitha spent every waking moment. But she did devote a certain amount of time to it. And so she was somebody who was missed, not because they wouldn't get any more free clothing. That doesn't seem to be the attitude at all. But her love was being missed. She made this for me. This cloak, this thing that they were showing Peter, this was a manifestation of Tabitha's love for her fellow widows in the church there at Joppa. Okay? And so I would just ask you, if somebody's going to be bragging on you, would it be nice to have somebody brag on you? Okay. If somebody in the church is bragging on you, what would it be? All right? And to find ourselves something that we could do. It may be, well, this is the person that always greets me when I come in the morning. This is the one who gets my coffee and donuts for me, you know, when we go over to coffee and donuts. This is the one that does whatever. There are little things of kindness, and that's what it says up here, devoted to good works and acts of charity. Just acts of kindness. There are little things of kindness that every one of us can do that will have an impact. And I'm sure as Tabitha was doing this, that she wasn't doing it so that everybody will be beholding to her. That was her heart. That's what she was doing. Amen? You know, we stopped and got donuts today, and there was a family in there ahead of me getting donuts, and they had a little girl about this big. And reminded me when my little girls were about that big, but that's okay. And so she was telling me, I got a heart donut. Oh, really, a heart with red sprinkles on it. I said, really? Show me in the case. And so she went over and she said, I've got one of those. I said, have you eaten it? No, not yet. Well, can I have a bite? No! As I would expect her. If she were to say, yeah, sure, yeah, then I probably would have just had a heart attack and flopped over, all right? Now, there's somebody raising their kids right there. There's a perfect stranger. Yeah, sure, have a bite of my donut. But, she picked this donut out. It's hers. She's not going to share it. They had her up in the baby seat as I walked out. Dad was putting everybody in the car and everything. She's up in the baby seat, and she's holding that bag with both hands. And I said, I wonder if she's going to eat it or look at it all day. You know, she just got it right there. Nobody's getting it. There's that guy over there. If I'm not careful, he's going to get my heart-shaped donut with red sprinkles on it. All right. For Dorcas, it was yes. Take it. I'm doing this for you. Amen? So I just want you to think, what is it that you can do? Not every day. Not every Sunday. You know, if you were to do something just once a week, once every couple of weeks, what is it that is an act of kindness that we can share that is going to be a blessing in your life? And I tell you what, we don't read anything else about Dorcas or Tabitha. She doesn't show up anywhere else in Scripture. She wasn't a person who led a lot of people to Jesus. She wasn't, you know, the only thing we know about her, about what she did, was that she was kind. That's all we know. Oh, Peter raised her from the dead. Okay, that's cool. She didn't have too much to do with that. Okay? We can't do much about raising ourselves from the dead, all right? But, you know, she is known in history because of her acts of charity. Amen? As well, we should be. So think about it. What is the small thing, just the small something that I can do? I don't believe for a moment she did this. I'm going to do this so people will think kindly of me. No, she did it because that's what her heart told her to do. So think about that. How can I be remembered in God's church by something that was maybe a hobby? Okay, Jeanette has the little jewelries and thing, the beads and whatever. And Sister Perry goes all over giving those things away. All right? But she doesn't give them all away, but she was at the doctor the other day, and the doctor saw the one that had the little cross on it. She said, oh, where can I get something like that? And Terry said, here. Oh, I couldn't. And she said, no, the lady will give me another one. Okay? All right? And so, folks, that's what we do in life, is we just tiptoe merrily through life with little acts of charity, knowing that our Heavenly Father is watching over us from above. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. And a no is just as important as a yes or not now. He will protect us, and if Tabitha was only worried about, will I have enough to live on, will I have enough, then she wouldn't have been doing these acts of charity. But her attitude was, hey, this is what I have in my hand. I can bless somebody with it. I can bless somebody with this. You can bless somebody with this. Amen? Father God, we thank you.